How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Good day to you all. This is David Gortner from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and this is Episcopal Ramblings from North Idaho. Good day and blessings to you all. Together we give thanks to God for the rain that's come recently to refresh this very dry earth around us, and for the cool that has brought relief from the heat like we've never experienced so intensely for so prolonged a period in this region. Together we pray for people across this region, this nation, and this world. We continue to pray as this coronavirus pandemic sweeps more intensely through the population, let's face it, and we pray for protection and renewed energy and your presence with all who are working in healthcare because they are exhausted. And we pray for a sense of deeper attentiveness and care among all people. Worldwide, together we pray for nations and people torn by strife, for the people of Afghanistan and the people of Haiti. This last week, this Sunday, was a joyful day for us as we celebrated Holy Baptism for two people and as we joined with them in renewing our own baptismal vows. So on this Sunday and this week, we note especially God dwelling with us. In 1 Kings, we come to that point in the Old Testament stories of the kings of Israel when Solomon has built a temple for the kingdom of Israel as a house of prayer for all people and a dwelling place for God in their midst. Now, for hundreds of years since the children of Israel first fled from the bondage in Egypt and then received the covenant and law from God in the wilderness, God had dwelt with them in a unique way in the tent called the tabernacle, as the God who was on the move with them. Now, Solomon follows through on a desire his father David had to build a temple of stone and wood in a place that would be known as the center of life for Israel as a nation. And that's all good, and it was no small feat. This somewhat small but richly ornate temple and its grounds took a lot of effort and time and resources. Solomon even instituted forced labor, slavery, on his own people to build the temple in order to get the work done and to have everyone give their part. Now, this leaves us with a big question as we think about how Solomon the Wise got this great dream of his fulfilled to build a temple. To build a temple, Solomon put his own people, who had been freed by God's care and might, back into the bondage they had known in Egypt. He eventually released them. He did eventually release them from all their time of bondage, after completing the temple, and oh, by the way, also completing his own palace that was even bigger. So, maybe we might think of this like a time of required enlistment, like we have had in the past with the draft in military service in the U.S., or the public service of men in the CCC or WPA during the Great Depression. And maybe we might hold this all in relation to how New Testament writers speak of us becoming slaves, or bonded servants of the gospel of Christ, just as the people of Israel had pledged themselves to be bound to the law and covenant of God. None of that language in the New Testament fits neatly with our very American preference to think about the total freedom we imagine is what comes with life with God. Let me ask you a question. Maybe, is it really that true freedom comes with God when we experience accepting Jesus' invitation to take his yoke upon ourselves to be bound to and to submit ourselves to God's loving direction. Okay, so that's important to have as a frame of reference, and at the same time we can ask the question, did Solomon really do a good thing the way he got his temple built? But here we are then, standing with Solomon before the finished temple. The priests have taken the Ark of God into the temple, and the temple is filled with the cloud of God's presence, so thick that they can't see or move about. All stand outside with Solomon in awe and wonder and hope and in prayer. And Solomon prays before the altar outside, and he asks, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even the heaven and the highest heavens cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Oh God, you are so much greater than all our efforts to make some kind of space to hold you." But then he asks, "Hear my plea, hear my prayer, hear my cry. Please hear my prayer when I turn to this place, anytime. Please hear the prayers of all the people of Israel, your chosen people, when they come to you and turn to you here to pray. Hear them and forgive them. Please hear the prayers also of any foreigner, any visitor and stranger to this land, and fulfill their prayers so that you may be known as God. You are everywhere and beyond everywhere. But please listen especially from this place. Let this place be a channel, an especially known point of connection between you and all the people of the earth. This is our prayer, our hope, for a building of St. Luke's. This church in Coeur d'Alene, as a space dedicated to prayer and to seeking God. That we and all who come, not just those who belong here, but any foreigner, stranger, visitor, will find God and be heard by God." Now, a generation before Solomon's great dedication, his father, David, wanted to build a temple. And God sent Nathan the prophet to David to remind him that no dwelling could hold God. But God honored David's desire by promising to build David a house. Even so, God chose to dwell among us. But perhaps the house was not to be a permanent dwelling, even though he came into dwelling in Solomon's temple. Perhaps the house was not to be a permanent dwelling made of stone and wood, as wonderful as such places are. Maybe the house of God is something different. Friends, this last week, Christians across the world celebrated the feast of Saint Mary, the God-bearer, the mother of Jesus. Mary, as we sang in one of our hymns today, was chosen by God to be God's earthly sanctuary, the channel through which God incarnate would come among us and walk among us and dwell and journey with us in this world. Mary willingly accepted God's invitation, and she allowed her own life and the life of her family to be altered completely by accepting that invitation. Friends, we have the same invitation to us, as Jesus invites us to a level of closeness and intimacy of indwelling that we can hardly imagine. Jesus, the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, as we heard in today's gospel, says to all of us, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Behold, the dwelling of God is among and within mortals. The temple of God is not a place made of stone and wood, of steel and other materials. Such places can indeed help us open to the truer and deeper mystery that the temple of God is us. The temple of God is each of us, each one of us, as we accept this strange invitation of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The temple of God is us together, and we come to know and abide with Christ more fully as we abide with one another and open our hearts to each other. So, friends, will you say yes to Jesus' strange, radical invitation to an intimacy that involves his own body and blood, mingled with our own as we receive him into ourselves, our own bodies, our minds, our hearts? As the great call to Israel goes, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Let no corner of your life be withheld or reserved from God. Let all of you, every fiber of your being, be open to God as a dwelling place. Let yourself say with the psalm writer, as you open yourself to God's to be God's temple, how dear to me is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. This flesh, this mind and heart, this that is my house and my being, it is dear to me and it is yours, and I offer it to you as a dwelling place, O God." This is what Jesus is truly getting at when he uses such strong words like "eat my flesh and drink my blood." He means, take me in. I am food for you. Just as I am God incarnate as a human, I will be God incarnate for you in bread and wine, and in every word I speak and in everything I offer of myself. Take me in, and you will become a house of God incarnate, a temple on the move through this world, as we abide together and you abide with each other. How we respond, how will we respond to such an intense and, let's be honest, rattling, disturbingly intense invitation? Will we withdraw ourselves from the scene, as many of the disciples then did? Will we pull away when things get literally too close for comfort? Or will we respond like Peter? Even Peter, who didn't just raise his hand and say, "Yeah, this is great," but who, with the other disciples, is finding Jesus' intensity just a little alarming. Peter, who manages to say, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Will we stay with the one who truly opens the gateway into the all-encompassing cloud of God? As the hymn says, "I hope we can continue to make our prayer. And I hope that Jeffrey and Oliver, both baptized on this Sunday, will make this their prayer. Come abide within me. May my soul, like Mary, be thine earthly sanctuary." It's from this point, when you accept this great invitation of the God who desires to dwell in and embrace fully all of us, it's from this point on that the adventure that has already begun for you continues onward in a fullness you have not yet imagined. For Jeffrey, who came as an adult after a lifetime of lifelong journey of seeking truth and seeking the God of love and light and life, and has found a home with us in this Episcopal Church, this odd branch of the great tree of Christian life. As he willingly and fully dives in, may God fill him and surround him, abide with him deeply, and flow in the Holy Spirit through him to others. May he be God's holy dwelling on the move. And for little Oliver, brought by his parents and godparents and family, Little Oliver is at this beginning of his journey that will unfold with wonder and surprise over a lifetime. May God fill him in this moment and from time and time on, from this time on, and may he grow throughout his life knowing and sensing that God has claimed him as a holy place, a holy dwelling. Friends in Christ, God is on the move through us. We are God's dwelling, God's temple, together and each. Such high and deep intensity, such an invitation, such a profound charge. God binds himself to us, and we, by inviting God into ourselves, become bound to God. No matter what our life and circumstances, no matter what moments in history we tread through, now or in the future, no matter what affliction, upheaval, joy, calamity, or surprise we encounter, we are God's temple on the move. And through us, we little incarnations of Christ in us and one with us, through us, God touches all. Take Christ in, friends. Become one with Christ, as Christ wishes to offer to you, and allow Christ to dwell in you as God's holy temple, each of us and all together, for the sake of this world that God loves so very dearly. Amen.